Welcome to Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio, powered by The Barbershop. In this podcast, we'll bring you the latest insights and trends from industry leaders in advertising and marketing. Join us as we dive into discussions that shape the future of our industry.
Good morning, everybody. My name's Ruth Mortimer, and I'm Advertising Week's Global President. Welcome to the last day of Advertising Week Europe. And I wanted to do a special welcome and thank you. Today is our day, all about the world of brand-funded entertainment, TV, and we're going to have some amazing speakers. Today, we've partnered with the lovely Justin Crosby at Telecast to bring together the worlds of TV with brands and marketers, the whole creative industries in one space. So I know you're going to hear some amazing content today. We've got ITV, Channel 4, Telecast, and Sky Media up here to have a really interesting discussion. And then throughout the day, you're going to see lots of amazing speakers, culminating at the end of the day in Take That, who I believe have been on telly. So great link there. Justin, please take it away and welcome.
Thanks, Ruth. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the very first Telecast Brand Funded Entertainment Summit. Thanks for being with us today. I'm Justin Crosby and I run Telecast. It's a content industry podcast show and YouTube channel. There's a QR code on screen now, so please do subscribe. It's free and it gives you insight and opinion within the content industry every single week. So please do sign up. Thanks to Ruth Mortimer and Advertising Week Europe for inviting us to be part of this brilliant event. And I think it's a perfect environment to delve into the detail of brand-funded entertainment where we are in the UK right now. Across seven panel sessions today, we have some of the leaders in the sector exploring the challenges and opportunities open to brands, broadcasters, agencies, and producers. And we're going to get into some of the thorny issues around brand-funded entertainment, such as compliance, distribution and IP, and success measurement. We're also going to be exploring the creator and brand partnerships, the future of digital branded content, and the world of brand-funded podcasting throughout the day. So before we kick off with the panel, I'd like to say a very big thank you to Fremantle for being our partners today. You'll see their fabulous clips on screen before each of the sessions. And to our partner for today's event, Lucy Sannon from 53 Degrees North Media. Lucy and I chatted at MIPCOM last year and couldn't understand why there wasn't a full day dedicated to brand-funded entertainment. So we've put this together together with Advertising Week Europe. So hopefully with your support, it'll be the first of many sessions focused on this sector. Okay, so let's kick off with the panel. And we're kicking off in style with our very first session, What Broadcasters Want, where we have three senior execs at the main three UK broadcasters who are active in the sector. So let's meet our panel. Bav Chandrani, director of B Studios at ITV, Claire Spears, branded content controller at Sky Media, and Adam Middleton, senior creative strategist at Channel 4. By the way, we're taking questions via Slido. You can access that through the Advertising Europe, Advertising Week Europe app. So please do get your questions in. I'll try and make some time for those at the end, or maybe dot them throughout the discussion as we go forward. Okay, let's get started. Bav, first of all, tell us about your role at ITV.
Sure. Hi, everyone. And just quickly, the podcast that Justin does is brilliant, so do give that a download, give it another plug. So yes, I'm Bav. I work at ITV. I work in the commercial team. My title is Director of B Studio. What that means is I look after kind of all non-standard or more creative forms of advertising. So sponsorship, licensing, product placement, social monetization, and of course, ad-funded programming.
Right. Thanks. Claire. Hi, Claire.
Hi, thanks. Hi, I'm Claire Spears. I'm branded content controller at Sky Media. I've been at Sky for 7-8 years now, recently just moved into this role actually, having worked in creative partnerships more broadly. But going forwards, my role is all about taking proactive opportunities out to market, so working closely with commissioning and external production teams to identify AFPs and proactive branded content ops.
Okay, Adam.
Hi, everyone. Yeah, Adam, work at Channel 4 as a senior creative strategist. Bit of a bridge between the sales team within Channel 4 and our commissioning team. So really there to kind of like solve those incoming briefs that we get from our advertisers and work out how brand entertainment can really be a solution for that. And a big part of our kind of evolution has been, you know, focusing on digital channels, on social channels as well. So we'll talk a little bit about that today. So, yeah, that's my role at Channel 4.
All right. And that's something that we're going to come back to, is sort of that balance and that bridge between commissioning and sales as well, because that's obviously a crucial area within brand funded programming. So, Bav, let's bring us up to speed in terms of the history, a potted history. And we're going to do that with each of the panelists, that how you've been involved in brand funded programming up to this point.
Sure. And potted history is exactly the right phrase, really. It's something we've lent into, stepped back from over a number of years. So we had a big push into ad-funded programming quite a number of years ago, about 16, 17 years ago. We had a modicum of success at the time. But the business kind of at that point felt that it wasn't something that was a key driver, and it wasn't necessarily a sustainable thing for the company. So we stepped away from it. And for a period of about 12 years from then until relatively recently, it was something that kind of happened a little bit by accident without any real kind of thought or precision or strategy behind it. So we do the odd travel ad fund per year kind of thing, and that was it. And then about 6 years ago, I'd say, we got a specific brief through from a client, which was Dunelm. We worked together with Dunelm and one of the ITV Studios production labels, Multistory, to turn that into from brief into a show called Back to Mine, which was really successful for them. We had two series of that. And that kind of opened up our thinking again around ad funds. Not long after that, we had the brief from Marks and Spencers, who at the time was sponsoring Britain's Got Talent and doing this campaign called Fresh Market Update. So one for kind of scale and celebrity and reach, and the other one for kind of telling a product story. And they came to us and said, how do we bring those two worlds together? How can we create, is there something that delivers the scale and the celebrity but is more rooted in our core business of food? And we didn't have a show that was right for that. So we worked with another one of ITV's labels, South Shore, to come up with Cooking with the Stars. And this year will be the fourth series of Cooking with the Stars. So I don't want to make too bold a claim, but it might be one of the most successful ad funds to have run on British television. It's our kind of the first hour-long peak recommissioned series, certainly format, that we've had on ITV. And so that's kind of brought us up to this year. And in the last couple of years, there's been a growing emphasis on ad funds.
Okay. And we'll talk about the creation of B Studios as part of that a little bit later on. And we also have a session later on where we have Marks and Spencers and South Shore. They're going to be telling us a little bit more about that in that session. Claire, how about you? Tell us about the history of brand-funded programming at Sky.
So I think at Sky, the focus is, or the opportunities in the past and now actually are more focused around arts and culture and sport. We do a lot of branded content, particularly across social and digital, less so on linear, if I'm honest. But Sky Arts is definitely this sort of opportunity for us and has been. So some examples in the past are Lexus, the Big Design Challenge, which was an EFP a couple of years ago. And then more recently, My Greatest Shot with Adobe, again, Sky Arts, 6-part series. And Sky Sports, we do quite a lot of work with them across social as well. So there's something called the Boots Doctor, which is live at the moment. So it's pretty much focused on those two genres, if I'm honest. But there are examples of where we've worked with sponsors on some of our bigger channels like Atlantic and Volvo, where as part of that sponsorship package, we've extended that to creating branded content with that brand as well. So stuff like kind of behind the scenes of filming some of Atlantic's biggest shows, you know, looking at branded content featuring stuntmen with Volvo. So certainly when we're working with some of those big long-term sponsors, that's where there are some opportunities as well. And that's what we've seen in the past. But yeah, it's very much working towards supporting the editorial agenda really for each of those channels and platforms. Being a pay TV provider, there's a quality threshold, and so that's why I have to work really closely with commissioning to make sure that whatever we're looking at, whatever we're talking about, really fits with that editorial mission. And Sky Arts are very open to that.
And can you give us an idea per year how many hours of brand-funded programming produce?
I would say for us it's less about hours and more about just meeting that quality threshold. We're probably not doing that much on linear, but when the right opportunity comes up and commissioner on board and editorial on board, that's when we can really dig into it. But I would say it's less about hours for us and the commission team.
Okay. And Adam, multi-platform is important for you as well, isn't it? So again, you know, bring us up to speed.
If you see me pause, by the way, it's because I forgot what I was saying. I'm doing the Squid Game thing. I think like Channel 4's like heritage in brand entertainment is like super rich. It's, you know, been going on for many years. It really has evolved over time as well. So, you know, it still does happen where we take up proactive opportunities to find advertisers who want to kind of work on those commissions. And at the same time, we now do a lot of reactive work as well to briefs, trying to find the right solutions across multiple platforms. So, you know, with Channel 4's kind of remit and heritage in kind of creating purpose-led content, there's been some amazing shows, you know, even recently around, you know, we commissioned a brilliant linear AFP with Marks & Spencer. They're going to get loads of plugs today, aren't they? Marks & Spencer's around New Model Agency, which is super kind of diverse show, worth checking out, all the way to like, so that's the kind of like long form stuff that's like commercial hour length on linear. There's then like mid form content that we put out on like YouTube and Facebook, etc. And some stuff we've done there recently around like Maltesers, for example, around maternal mental health. We commissioned an amazing series called Late Night Feed, which is all around kind of return to work for working mums. And then some really short form stuff as well. Like we've just done a campaign with Remington around the kind of power of hair and your identity there. And that's literally 60 second assets that living across the likes of TikTok and Instagram. So the kind of like, you know, real range of brand entertainment that's coming out of Channel 4 now is really vast. And then like more on the entertainment side of things as well. You know, there's shows like with eBay, for example, called Bangers, hosted by Tiny Temper, which is a brilliant, again, linear AFP that exists on streaming as well. And then we move on again into the mid-form space, a recent series we commissioned with Tourism Ireland called Stand Up Road Trip, which is about comedians basically touring the country and ending up doing a stand-up gig at the end to get some inspiration. And I kid you not, we even made a format, one-off special with Domino's around a man that likes to get treated like a pizza. So that is much funner for me to explain to you after a few drinks later. So come and grab me then. But yeah, I think like the range of content that we're putting out at Channel 4 is just really vast now. And, you know, we're not slowing down this space at all. It's a, you know, we do feel like it's a really exciting opportunity. And a space we're constantly looking to evolve in, like in the kind of cross-platform space. So yeah,
and presumably the metrics that digital can provide is something that's more and more important for brands.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, like the depth that you can go into with the platforms in terms of like data audiences, understanding things like watch times, for example, and also like different metrics are coming up from our advertisers now as well around engagement. Things like fame are still really important, and we know the power of linear TV in delivering that fame as well. And you know, and even as Claire and Bab have both touched on as well, like bringing the you know, the opportunities closer to our existing programming and our talent as well is also really key. So the metrics are constantly shifting, but digital really has opened up an opportunity for us to kind of evolve the way that we can service our advertisers and kind of hit those objectives. So yeah.
Okay. So Bab, coming back to you, B Studios, 6 months ago did you launch that? Maybe a bit more. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the rationale for launching that and what difference it makes for working with agencies and brands and production companies from a brand funded programming perspective.
Sure. So B Studio, we launched it in November of last year. If I'm using grandiose language, I refer to it as evolution masquerading as a revolution. But it's basically a rebrand of our department with some stretch built into it. So it's basically the way we've done creative partnerships has evolved so much over the last 12 years. Number of touch points that a brand can access, the amount of extension content, a bit like you described for Volvo, that we produce for brands, the way we're able to integrate products into our shows, again, thinking audience first, idea first, creative first, lens, the way we're able to do all of that shifted enormously, but we haven't really re-articulated the way we do partnerships to our customers. So part of the launch of B Studio was about re-articulating what we already do. But the two new areas, and again, they are, they're kind of, they're not entirely new because we just talked about the history of ad-funded programming, but it signifies a shift in emphasis from us about what our focus is going forward. Those two new areas are social first entertainment or digital first entertainment. We can't make our minds up on which word to use there. So that is short form mainly. It's but there's variety, and that's it. It's everything from Argos showing how a scene is built or a set is built, and kind of lifting the lid for fans to see how the furniture moves around to accommodate cameras. That kind of content through to the Love Island, the Morning After podcast. So that's, again, that's a piece of branded entertainment. It wouldn't exist without the brand's funding. So that's the social first end, and we just want to do more of that. And then at the long form end, and for us it is linear driven currently, we've basically opened the doors to ad-funded programming. So while, as I explained earlier, in the history of ad funds up until 2023, it's something that has happened, has been an increasing focus. We've not actively said either to advertisers or to producers or to our commissioners or to media agencies that our doors are genuinely open to ad-funded programming. And so just that shift in language, that openness, that kind of welcoming of briefs, and internally actually unlocking a lot of false perceptions around ad-funded programming. We're calling them ad-funded entertainment rather than ad-funded programming, which might seem like a slightly petty thing to pick on, but it's really important for us because it's helping us tell a story to our commissioners that the entertainment value of the show always comes first, and it's helping us tell that story to advertisers as well, that they should always think about how the show comes across, not just how their brand comes across within that.
Okay, and that's interesting when you talk about, you know, the focus on entertainment first and potentially commissioner first, and we'll come back and pick on that up on that in a second. Adam, you mentioned digital first, obviously, is a main focus for you. Can you just expand on that a little bit? You give us a few examples, and obviously metrics are very important for your clients. But how does it work in practice when you get a brief, and how is that benefiting your clients?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Bav touched on a really important point there, actually, like dropping that kind of, you know, quite outdated term of like programming is actually a really interesting way to look at it. And I think, you know, a big part of Channel 4's, you know, strategy moving forward is to be digital first. It's a, you know, really key focus area for the broadcaster at the moment. And I think like dropping that kind of programming side of things, actually focusing more on the content itself, the creative itself, and actually what that creative is there to actually service and do for our advertisers is really important. And this is why digital plays, you know, such an important role. So yeah, to answer your question, Justin, I think one of the main things that, you know, we really focus on is instead of matching up, which again, we probably will come on to in a bit, instead of matching up, you know, programs that our production companies, our commissioners want to make with advertisers, it really is now trying to think about the advertiser we're working with and we're being tasked to kind of solve objectives for and our viewers first. And that then ends up in a position where we focus on the entertainment, the content, the creative first, not this kind of like programming model almost. So that's kind of really been a real shift for us. And I think, you know, the way that we essentially deliver branded ends now, another term which we're calling it, it's always changes. The way that we deliver on it now is really kind of focusing on that brief first and foremost. So we do a lot of proactive opportunities out there in market, but our real bread and butter is kind of taking on those objectives from brands, understanding what those kind of key KPIs are, and working out within the Channel 4 ecosystem, so linear, streaming and social, how can our entertainment, our branded ends service each of those objectives? What part of our ecosystem can best deliver on those objectives? So if there is an ask about fame, for example, we know our linear TV offering can do an amazing job at that, because we can get close, albeit contextually sometimes, to our existing programming. And that does an amazing job to drive that fame. But if they're after awareness or consideration or changing that brand perception, we know we've got an amazing opportunity to tap into our social channels, YouTube and streaming as well, and digital, to really expand on that kind of like brand message, really create something truly entertaining that's going to pull an audience in. So we really focus on the kind of core asks of the brief first, and then deliver a kind of digital first approach to that versus like matching up something to a brief. So, yeah.
Okay. Claire, let's talk about Sky and the genres that you tend to work in within brand-funded entertainment. Can you just expand on that a little bit, and how else can brands work with Sky? Because it's not just programming, essentially. There are other ways that you can partner.
Yeah, and I think the guys have touched on that as well. So, as I've said, Sky Arts is quite open to branded content, and part of that reason is because their sort of mission is to bring more arts to more people, so really diversifying and democratizing arts and culture. It's a free-to-air channel, so it's really about just bringing more arts to a broader group of people. So they're much more open. The examples that I've given of I guess more traditional linear AFPs have sat on that channel. So that's an interesting one. But then I guess another space that we're just beginning to move into in Sky Media is what we're describing as official partner opportunities. And an example I'd give for that is Audi. And this is a very long-term partnership, beginning sort of 3 years ago, where they became official innovation partner of Sky Sports. And what that meant was they were investing in innovation across Sky Sports broadcast coverage. So working really closely with their editorial teams to identify what are the big innovations that we can add to that coverage that really improve the viewer experience. And two big projects that we've worked on and launched are with cricket, the 100 in cricket, the power meter. So a camera setup that enabled us to tell viewers the speed and the angle that a ball is leaving a cricket bat. I have to say that is not of interest to me, but to cricket viewers, that is really cool. And then the same with golf. We've got the performance zone, and they've paid to kind of create that zone and allow our pundits to analyse the swing and the gait of professional players through avatars, and then share that with the amateur players at home. So that's just an example of how a brand can not necessarily create a fully kind of closed piece themselves, but they can really add something that we're already doing that viewers enjoy. So I think from a customer perspective, that's really enhancing their experience. And again, like I said, as a PTV brand, that's really important for us, and it's really important for our customers to kind of keep reminding them why they're paying that fee every month, you know, so that really helps. So I think, yeah, that's one example of a sort of different approach from us.
Okay, so let's look at taking a step back and looking at the wider content industry and TV industry. We've seen a huge slowdown in commissioning over the past 12 months. And I guess a lot of producers in the audience will want to know, you know, is there the potential for the amount of brand-funded entertainment that broadcasters are going to commission? Is that going to increase, you know, to fill that gap? I mean, Bav?
Yeah. So we've already shown a significant growth in this area. So last year we did three series, which I think was about 16 hours of ad-funded programming. And this year we've got 13 commissioned, which equates to almost 100 hours of programming. So you can see the direction of travel there. So the short answer is yes, we see this as an important growth area, both from in terms of advertiser demand and commissioner interest for us. And that's why we set up eStudio to try and capitalise on that.
Okay. Claire?
I think one of the things we're seeing in our business is there's a bigger focus on trying to work with brands to create either shoulder content or some sort of partnership around shows that we've already commissioned. So it's not necessarily a big push to kind of fill extra hours per se, but we're looking at shows that are coming up this year and saying, actually, can a brand really help us increase our reach or drive more engagement? So stuff like the Day of the Jackal that's coming up later this year, featuring Eddie Redmayne, we're looking at, you know, are there opportunities for a brand to get involved in some sort of partnership there? And similarly with shows on Sky Max that are kind of returning series, stuff like Brassic and Buzzcocks, you know, are there opportunities to work with brands to bring those programme brands to life across different platforms and different areas? So it's not necessarily just about sort of creating lots more content to, as you say, fill a gap. It's about working more with brands to enhance stuff that we're already doing as well. So that's a focus for us.
Okay. And Adam?
Yeah, I think the growth is, you know, it's what we're here chatting about today, right? I don't think the growth is going to slow down at all. I think, if anything, the change is literally going to be not going to come from less content. It's going to be about just like the types of content that we're delivering. You know, Claire touched on there, like shoulder content is an amazing opportunity and an example of that. And I think like the evolution of like what branded entertainment actually looks like is really important just to keep an eye on as well. So like the producers we're working with, and apologies, Justin, if it's going to be one of your questions in a bit, but like we're constantly challenging our producers to think more digitally about like how they can produce content as well, like kind of take off the shackles almost of the kind of very linear structured way of like creating programming and entertainment, and actually think about the entire kind of like ecosystem of how viewers, consumers, whatever we want to call them in this industry, are actually like watching stuff, basically. And you know, and if that is a TikTok video where they're stitching their face alongside it, then so be it. Or if it's like that real kind of lean back appointment to watch viewing, then that's, you know, the other end of the spectrum. So I think it's less about kind of like the growth and slowdown, because I don't think that's going to happen. I think like we will continue to see this kind of steady push if the appetite continues, and if broadcasters like us and other partners can continue to evolve in this space. But it's about how the production teams we're working with internally and externally can continue to evolve their offering and adapt to how viewer habits are changing. Again, that's, you know, such a core part of the Channel 4 vision moving forward, is like, how do we constantly evolve and service our audience in the way they're changing, the way they are consuming our content? So, yeah.
Okay, so we've got a question that's come through on Slido, and it's related to my final question. We've only got 2.5 minutes left, but so if you could keep your answers nice and brief, please. How can production companies work with you to develop ideas for your latest brand briefs, Bev?
Sure. So Adam mentioned this. So we have two approaches to market, proactive and reactive. Proactive is the opportunity for producers, really, and that's via our commissioners. So go and speak to commissioners, pitch ideas to your commissioners in the normal way that you would, and then they will identify whether it needs to be ad funded or whether they can commission it straight. And if it needs to be ad funded, then it comes into me and my team to have a look at.
Okay, so in terms of the do's and don'ts, for a producer, it's not necessarily about going and finding a brand to attach to a project. Is that like that's a don't?
That's a don't, really, for us. We want to own the conversation with brands. It's really important to our sales team to have that. And this is an increased part of their offering to customers. So we very much suggest producers don't do that, but they do come and speak to us at the earliest opportunity.
Okay, how about Sky?
Kind of similar, I guess. So ideally, certainly for the proactive stuff, it's great if a production company's already got a relationship with their commissioning team, either having worked with them or have treatments approved in principle. That just makes it so much easier for us. But I think to that question around actual briefs, which I guess is reactive, if we don't have anything that's already approved in principle that is appropriate, and we think that brief fits with our agenda or editorial's agenda, we'll go and have a chat with commission and say, look, this brief's come in. Are there production companies you think you would work with on this? Who are they? What's the kind of thing you would like to see from them in response to this brief? So we'd certainly be taking it to commissioning as a brief and saying, you know, who are the companies you think are right to work on this?
Okay, so for Sky, it's that producers have got to get close to the commissioners.
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And finally, Adam.
Yeah, the clock's red down here, so I'm going to be as quick as I can. I think the guys have touched on some really important points. I'm going to answer this question in a slightly different way, actually, and put the attention more on agencies, because, A, I don't think agencies get probably enough love in the industry, to be honest with you, and the way that we're working with them is constantly evolving, and I'll come on to that in a sec. And also, like, the internal teams within Channel 4 are really evolving as well, and what I mean by that is our commissioning teams and our sales teams that we're working with. Production companies pitching us ideas absolutely is a way that we can work, and again, we can match them up to the advertisers, we can help shape them, and then, to Bab's point, we can decide if they should be ad-funded, and then we can, like, you know, go down that road. The other side of it is actually working really closely with our agency partners and our digital commission is internally, and you know, my role as a creative strategist, I've got a team I work with as well. We're developing a lot of ideas internally here and with our agency partners. In fact, quite a lot of briefs that we're answering now come with these like thought starters, and we're not anti that at all. And I think, you know, in answer to this question of how production companies can work with us, I think it's been flexible to work with us in that way, basically. So rather than having this like set structured like idea of what you want to make as a production company, try and be a bit more flexible as to like the thoughts that are coming from both broadcasters and our agency partners, because you know, there is some absolute gold out there, and no one really knows our advertisers better than, you know, the broadcasters and the media agencies we're working with. So I think just being open, flexible, I touched on earlier about evolving and adapting to the wider ecosystem as well. A lot of production companies out there are still quite linear focused, and we are working with them a lot at the moment at Channel 4 to evolve their offering. You know, what does a TikTok asset look like compared to an out commercial hour on linear? Unsurprisingly, it's very bloody different. So I think just like being able to evolve and be flexible is really key. So, yeah.
Okay, fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, please thank our panel. You will be able to listen back to this panel discussion and lots of other panel discussions via our podcast as well. And you'll also see lots of interviews with lots of our panelists on our YouTube channel in the coming weeks. So thank you very much, and see you for the next session.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio. Stay connected with us on social media using the handle @advertisingweek, and visit our website europe.advertisingweek.com for more exclusive content. This podcast was produced by Podcanda, the audio conference solution.